I love optical illusions. As you look at that picture, are those lines parallel? Yeah, they are. It's the illusion that's there. Look at a couple more. The next one is, are the two lines the same length? Yeah, they are. It's the difference at the end there. The third one, this one really doesn't look. Are the diagonal lines parallel? Yeah, they are. It's just over and over again. And I love the fact of the deception that the brain is really giving you sometimes with those issues there. This one's a little more complex, perhaps. Which picture is larger? Well, you know by now it's the same. There's not going to be any particular change there. That one, they're parallel as well. The dots just really make it look like there's a change there, but there's not. And then this one. How many colors are there? Three. The blue and the green are actually the same color. It's just the way that it's formed there. And what that does for us is it helps us to understand that, you know, things that we just know for certain that we saw, we sometimes didn't see. Because it's just a little bit different than our blind spot is certainly a good example of that. I was asked to speak at a church a few years ago, and I wanted to use some optical illusions in my introduction. And so I talked to him and said, "You got all this stuff?" And yeah. Even the day before, I called and said, "You got everything? You know, yeah, great." So I get there, and I'm going to use this introduction that has optical illusions, and I'm giving my stuff. And they said, "Well, Joe's not here yet. He'll be here in a minute." Is there anybody else? Well, maybe Bill might know, and Sam and Pete. And then finally, somebody comes in and says, "Has a password to the computers at camp." Oh, okay. So back to square one. It's kind of hard to do this when you don't get to do what you had planned to do there, but it worked out fine. Jesus heals a blind man in Luke chapter 18, and I've looked at Luke chapter 18 through this month and like to continue to do that and finish up with that today. As we think about sight from a number of different perspectives here, Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 35, it says, "As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging." Now, we have this rendition of this narrative in a number of Gospels, and so it's clear from other places that there's more than one blind person who's actually there. Luke only chooses to tell us about this one particular individual. It says, "When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening." What's going on? They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is coming by." He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Starts making a big noise. "Lord, look over here. Look over here." Those who led the way rebuked him, told him to be quiet. What'd he do? Shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." "Hush up. You're embarrassing us. We have an important visitor coming to our town, and you're over here making a spectacle of yourself, you know. Back off just a little bit." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, imagine yourself in that situation. God on earth, God incarnate, looks you in the face and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, I think that there's a parallel there that's really important to us, because I think that God does that for us a lot of times. And what does this guy say? "Lord, I want to see. I want my sight." I think sometimes we go hold back a little bit. So, "Well, you know, if you could, I'd like to be a little happier. I'd like for things to go a little bit better." And Jesus, over and over again in his ministry, invites his followers to ask for literally massive kinds of things. And sometimes when we have those opportunities, actually daily as we have those opportunities, we kind of shrink back and say, "Well, you know, maybe." And God says, "Ask me for anything." This guy does. He says, "I want to see." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Impressive miracle. But there's so much more to it than just fixing the guy's eyesight. You know, there's the hard wiring of being able to see. And I mentioned before, maybe the parallel of all the software that has to be in place. When you look at the development of your eyesight, there's so many complexities that are built over time that start at your birth, literally. Not only does Jesus fix the physical, but he has to put all of the software in so that these images can be processed effectively. You may remember the movie about 20 years ago. It was At First Sight. And it was a story of a man, and he met a woman, and she was determined to help him regain his sight. And so she was able to investigate and motivate and do the kind of things that you do so that he was able to have this very aggressive and experimental surgery, and he had his sight. But he didn't like it. It was confusing. It was overwhelming. Because all of the stimuli, were just overwhelming him. And so there actually is a point in time in the real story, I don't know about the movie, but in the real story where he starts to lose his sight again and he doesn't want to do anything about it. He actually is grateful and thankful when he becomes blind again. He was just overwhelmed. And sometimes that happens to us too. We get to the place where it's like, don't give me any more information. You know, don't confuse me anymore. I've got as much as I can handle, as much as I can deal with. It actually has a name. It's subjective constancy or perceptual constancy. And that's where we have a tendency to get something real firm in our minds, maybe even the shape of a doorway or the visual image of a person. And what our brains don't want to do is they don't want to take in any more information. Because that could make it complex. And so we develop to the place where we don't want to see more because then we'll have to debate what's really going on. And it's a natural process that happens to us. But when you look at it, certainly has impact in our world. Where somebody is an eyewitness account and they give it in court, an eyewitness testimony. You'd think that would be the very best, but sometimes, frequently, it's not because of this very issue. God calls us to see. And this man says, Lord, I want to see. And it takes courage, even as a visual person, to say to God, God, I want to see. I want to see everything that you have in mind for me to see. I want to have sight. I want to have perspective. I want to have insight. I want to see with the detail that you have in mind. And if that alters, I want to see and know that as well. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is telling his disciples why he's going to speak in parables. This is why I speak to them in parables. And he talks about the Jewish people. He says, though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. You kind of feel sorry for them. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts. Jesus says, they'll turn, and I will heal them. That's what they don't want. They don't want Jesus to do anything in their lives. And because of that, they literally have their hands over their ears and their hands over their eyes. They don't want to see anymore. Don't give me anymore. What happens to them because of their denial? Does it change history? Does it change what the Roman army is going to do about 40 years later? Nothing changes. It's simply their unwillingness to see what's waiting around the corner. 2 Kings chapter 6. verses 15 through 17. This is the servant of Elijah. They're involved in conflict, as you know, and it starts in verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, no, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. He gets up and they're surrounded, overwhelmed by this oppressive army. Verse 16, "Don't be afraid." Easy to say. The prophet answered, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And you know, you can just think for a minute about what the servant is going through at that moment. It's like, I don't really follow you there, you know. I look out the window and I see this massive army that's surrounding us. And you're saying to me there's more on our side than is on their side. And then through this miraculous intervention that's provided for Elisha, which is so encouraging to us, Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God's army was bigger than the Arameans. God's army was more powerful than what he could see. And so he gets this incredible blessing of being able to see it through God's eyes. And God is constantly inviting us to do that. We look and we feel overwhelmed. Or we don't want to see. We don't even want to look hard. We don't really want to be as detail-oriented as we even know that we ought to be, because we might see something that would frighten us or scare us or cause us to lose the self-control that we have. And so we really fight against that. It's just, let me see it the old way. See it the way I've always seen it. And God says, but if you'll let me, I'll show you more. I'll show you what I really have. I'll show you the power that's really there. There are things God wants us to be, and he wants us to see, and he invites us to see those things. Can you always trust your eyes? Well, I have learned personally the hard way this spring and summer that you can't. One of the things that I've had a problem with is depth perception. And so, as they were trying to help me move along, they said, when you get on the lawnmower this spring, you're going to learn a whole lot about being able to see and depth perception, which is really not good because I've hit the house. I've hit several trees. I've hit the wellhead. I've hit the post office, the mailbox. And it's just there, you know. It's like, I know I need to turn farther to the right. And then when I do, I hit the tree. It's like, wait a second. You know, something is off here. Something is strange there. It's not working the way it's supposed to work. And some of you have had that experience with your vision as well. And it's just not fitting together. Now, I was at the point where I had pretty much concluded that I wasn't going to be able to have good vision again. I had concluded that I wasn't going to be able to drive, and some other people had told me that as well. I do want to share with you in sharing that I went to the ophthalmologist 2 weeks ago, and when she examined my eyes without my glasses, my right eye has increased 400% in like the last 6 weeks. It didn't happen slowly. It happened all at once. And so I still can't see because this eye is grossly overcorrected. There's another lens coming for this glass, for this pair of glasses. It'll be here very soon. They actually can't step me up fully to where I could have the maximum correction because it'll happen too fast. So I'm going to have to spend about 2 months going halfway and then stepping there. But it's actually going to be back. And what a wonderful experience that is. And it came at a time when I really was feeling pretty low about that. I want to thank many of you because you've talked with me, and I know there are prayer warriors here who've mentioned that over and over, and I thank you so much for that because God can move, and he does move, and it's a wonderful thing. Let's look at these pictures really quickly. This next one. Anybody have any idea what that is? It's a butterfly wing. It is, yeah. The next one. That's your toothbrush, yeah. That one. Lifesavers, no. I would have guessed something in the body. It's actually a watermelon slice. A close-up of a watermelon slice. One more. City covered by
fog,
yeah. Most people would say snow. And then the last one. Yeah, that's a squirrel eating a Dorito. So not quite so hard to figure out. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says simply, we walk by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight, if you want to look at New International Version. God tells us in so many ways, you can't trust everything you see. You have to look higher. You have to look further. You have to look to me to get the true picture of the pathway. One more passage and the lesson is yours. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. Paul says there, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul says, I just want you to see it. I just want you to see it. If you see it, you'll know it, you'll find it, you'll grasp it. You'll experience truly what God has for us. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for sight. We thank you for the physical sight that we have in this world, and we are just so grateful and so appreciative for the vision that you've given us. Father, we pray that we could move on toward insight, that we can really see people as you see them. We can see the world as you see it. We can see ourselves as you see us, because Father, that empowers us to be what you want us to be. Help us to have the strength and the courage and the confidence to move forward to that place. Father, forgive us when we make mistakes. We do that so often. I just pray that we can move forward and we can be the kind of individuals that you'd like so that we can have the maximum impact in this world and in our families. We pray all this through your precious Son. Amen.